Mr. Gale, okay, sorry for that. All of us have to come true to the fact that we have got a role to play, and the same way that you've got all the various organizations. And I said yesterday openly, we saw a very successful campaign of AIDS being done across this country and warning people of the dangers of AIDS. We saw a very successful campaign in alcohol, the use of alcohol and smoking. And I would say successful in the sense that it have opened the eyes of several people. I believe the time has come for us to carry a national campaign on the control or anger management, because anger management starts from within the home as well. And there are some kindergarten schools where you've got this anger management that is between the children, and they grow with it, they develop it, and they execute it at a later stage. My recommendation is that every I've seen last night on television a promo in relation to peace and anger done by several of the known entertainers in Barbados. Very well, very well. But I believe we need to go a little further than that. We need to try to attract almost every single person in this country that can understand and that are prepared to understand that our anger management is taking control of us in many, many forms. The church has a role to play. The parents have a role to play. The civic organizations in Barbados have a role to play. Everybody has to come together to say, see, this country did not always have what we are complaining about now. But it's now developed because we have allowed certain things to come in between us. And we've caused certain separations and certain hate moods and certain situations. So all I'm saying, Lisa, is that I don't want to be taken out of context. I want to be understood that all of us and everybody has got to be part of this movement. The same way you're asking for gun amnesty, you have to ask people. The same way you're asking people to abstain from sex, the same people where you're trying to prevent all these things, I am saying that the time has come for this campaign, a massive campaign, to be making people aware of the simple things. Take, for example, I believe that one time you were told, before you let someone off, you come to 10, right, Ms. Gale?
As a means, yeah, that was one of the mechanisms for.
But all the old people tell us that, right?
Yeah.
Before you talk, think.
Right.
And several ways and means of telling people to control their anger can
ease
be done.
Yeah.
Several people. So I'm appealing to you. I'm appealing to the broadcast media in Barbados that we don't have to depend on anyone from outside. We can start here. We can spread the gospel. We can try, and as I said yesterday, that the way of proving a point, I know someone went before Madison in Bridgetown for doing some foolishness. And the master told that person, leave here. Go back into the store in Swansea called Sewing World. Stand up for a few minutes and ask yourself what is the position, what you're feeling. And I'm saying that now when you walk into certain places in Barbados, you already start to feel the transformation of behavior. So if this can be done, where you can ask people to do these things, to understand fully that they may have the anger inside of them, but the anger can be controlled. The anger can be controlled. And that is all I'm asking. Not for it to be taken out of context and blame this body and blame the next body. All of us are guilty of what is happening to us.
Thank you. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Thank you. Our first caller actually gave you kudos, Mr. Williams, and he endorsed the call for a program towards reducing or a program of anger management, essentially. And he wasn't, I understand, wasn't taking you out of context. And I agree with you that you should not blame persons. I, however, think that the word we kind of, you know, interchange blame and responsibility a little too much. And I think the responsibility, not necessarily blame, is at all of us. It is at the parents. It is at the teachers. It is at those, you know, church, those particular institutions that help to make up and to be a part of the socialization process. Those are the institutions that should share the burden or the responsibility, not necessarily the blame, of assisting us people in improving our anger management. And that is what I would say as it relates to anger management, because you will get angry. It is a human function. It is something that you do. You live, you operate, there are conflicts, etc. And one last thing, In 2016, a number of us professionals across Barbados have been given the awesome opportunity during the, there was an Impact Justice program, and we were trained. We had 40 hours of community mediation. And then in 2017, we formed the Barbados Association of Community Mediators, of which I would have been elected as the secretary. And that organization was really intended to work throughout. One particular plank we had was public education, so that we can encourage people to process their anger and to manage it, specifically with a view to reducing conflict, because it really was our main purpose was to help people to resolve conflicts so that the scenarios don't go towards the law courts. And it is unfortunate that that organization has not gone as far as it could have, simply because we didn't get the support of certain powers that be. And there were a number of police officers who were also trained in that program. So we actually have a cadre of over 60-something Barbadians who were trained in community mediation. And that is really to help persons within the community manage their conflicts. Hence why I am so particularly interested in this subject area, because over the years, you learn to manage your conflict and you would like to encourage other people to be able to manage conflict in ways that would demonstrate benefit to the society. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Time Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Good stuff.
I was glad yesterday when I heard the minister state that he's going to take up all the derelict vehicles and things that's on the road. That blessed my heart. But what would I advise him to do? It's to push off a piece of land somewhere that the government have, and give some contracts to people that got those trucks that is carrying things, and start early, don't wait back. The person that carrying away will get a piece of money, and the government will get some money.
Explain it. Clear a piece of land.
Push off a piece of land where things can store, where you can store these vehicles.
Yeah.
And start picking them up if the owners want them.
Oh, okay, them. Okay, yes. Not a bad idea, and let them pay. pay the fee of the transportation.
Because I can carry them here, we get a piece of money, and the government will get a piece of money. If they don't want them, the government can sell them.
Good suggestion. Do you like writing?
To be honest, there's a sort of see vehicles on the road 6 and 7 years, and then these wayside mechanics got the whole road blocked up that you can only pass on one side. All these they want raking up and taking away. This place was never like this.
There's a certain legal element there, but I kind of agree with you that if after a certain time and cars are, especially a car that is blocking a road passage, not one that is already on a lot, but one that is blocking a public road. I agree, it should be removed.
A lot of the owners that left down there don't care no more about them.
Sometimes I wouldn't say that they all don't care. Some of them just don't have the finances to fix whatever it is that is, you know, sometimes the value of the car is sometimes lower than the price of the part repairs for which is needed, or the repairs. It's true.
But to be honest, something won't do it, man. You go through streets, and you got to be dodging both for somebody to pass, and vehicles got the road locked up.
So question for you, what else did you like in the Parliament discussion that you endorse? What are the changes you endorse?
I endorse actually 99% of the things that was said.
Okay.
One of the things that I like very much, I don't know if I like how Mr. Franklin questioning certain things. I feel that people should not just sit down and accept things who they are.
Oh, the opposition senator.
And get answers when he asks for answers. Mm-hmm. We that listening will get answers and see if he's being facetious or if he's being right.
Okay.
What do you say?
No, I like when I think it's important to have other thought processes or to have an opposing view, not just for having it sake, but I find that Mr. Franklin has asked some good questions, and is important for us as a citizenry, to also be able to ask questions. Sometimes we get answers And particularly now, because this administration is so engaging, you know, I'll tell you, did you see the presentation of the Prime Minister on Saturday to the Barbados Workers Union?
I saw it a bit.
Did you get the privilege to see the second segment of it where the workers asked the Prime Minister questions?
No, I didn't see that.
No,
either,
that you I need to go back. You need to find the. Don't just assume. You need to find the clip. Go on Facebook. Go on Government of Information. Go GIS, or go to the BLP page, or go to Mia Motley's page herself, and watch the workers ask the Prime Minister some very strong questions. I was so proud of my workers. They asked her questions. They held her foot to the fire. Questions from all over the place. And I was so glad that they were able to articulate themselves. I'm talking about people from the National Housing Corporation, people from Transport Board. I mean, all workers from across the public sector, and a few from the, there was a gentleman from the sugar industry, and they shared historical information, they shared market information, they asked questions based on the plight or the issues and the concerns of our workers. And I felt so good that our workers were able to properly address the Prime Minister and ask those critical questions. Because oftentimes you may have a press conference and the press themselves may not be able to articulate those same issues in a way in which those persons did. So I was very proud. Hats off to those workers. I forgot to mention it in my opening.
I'm glad that this government is open up to dialogue, and they are listening.
It is now for the action or the responses now to become a reality, because one of the questions that I thought that the Prime Minister could have given a little more meat to, and I know we are in a financial challenge, but the gentleman asked, what about offsetting the taxes? You owe me, I owe you.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Prime Minister responded by saying, well, I wouldn't advise you that, because the gentleman said he ain't paying no more land tax. He ain't paying this, he ain't paying that, because you owe me. And I think, seriously, if the negotiations are not finished, the IMF is going to go, people need to receive their refunds.
Of course.
And I mean, one of the things the Prime Minister committed to was a two-year time period for which these refunds will be paid. But I say kudos to those workers. I really do.
Okay. Let me give you an instance. This morning, I sent a guy on my roof to check out something for me.
And you have insurance? Suppose he fell?
No. You had a lot of things. It was there holding him.
Okay.
And that roof was, the roof was changed last year. And he reported back to me that some of these sheets rusting already.
Ooh.
I said, what? And I called the people, and I was just saying, I lesson upon them.
No.
I'm not left upon them.
Not after a year.
In a year yet.
Mm.
And the sheets are right. He told me the sheets are right. So I got to go by what he told me.
You hope he have a phone to take any pictures? Because you certainly are not going up there. So suppose.
No, I'm not going. I would like to go, but I can't get there.
No. I wouldn't advise you. That's a serious thing, huh?
But we can't just spend our money.
So question for you. I'm sure there's recourse. Hopefully you have your bill and you...
The lady at the place told me she was on the supervisor. You got to come and check and they're going to deal with it.
Right, okay.
I don't know. Them don't know me, because I would call them every day, and if they don't give me the right answers, I would go up there.
Yeah, that's a good... You, as a customer, you have to ensure that your issues are dealt with properly, especially when you spend your money. And you have been guaranteed a particular service. Yeah, you've been guaranteed a particular product to last for a particular time. If they do not match the time and the product lifespan, then you have recourse as a consumer. You have anything else to add today?
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you so much. The gentleman caused me to remember the workers on Saturday. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Hi, may I call you Lisa?
Sure.
Okay, last time I spoke to you, I was querying the raise and the money that the pensioners in that country, the pensioners, had gotten, and you explained to me that 50% would have been taken only from the persons who were living alone. Remember that? And I said, thank you.
the pensioners who
yes you
are...
you give it to me. I didn't know about that because you said I wanted information. However, at that point in time, when I break for you to speak to me,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't finished, you know. But
you got
somehow,
cut?
You know, pressed for time, probably I was cut. Whereas that I wasn't able to continue.
So talk to me now, sir.
Right. So I want to continue this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the opposition at the point in time had promised the persons that when, if they get in, they will raise a non-contributor pension because they realized that they were on a fixed income and that a lot of them were suffering in silence, quote unquote, also about they can't, how are they living now and whatever was said at the time of the meetings, right? So they did promise and they did come true with their promise. And that was one for helping them to achieve the victory. Now my question is this. Now that the 5% will be given to the public workers and the parliamentarians automatically will get their raise. Is it true for I to say automatically also the pensioners will get a raise too?
No, there's a separate carve out. Pensioners don't come under the emoluments for public servants. That's probably why these pensioners were given their specific carve out, but not all pensioners. Remember,
it was
the non-contributory, and then the ones at the bottom of the scale of the contributory.
Right.
Those are the pensioners who benefited.
Right, so my question is this. At the time when the promise was given and it was achieved after they got into power, normally when there is a raise in the public service,
mm-hmm.
normally the parliamentarians do get a raise and also the pensioners just get a raise, not only the non-contributors. The normal pension does go up also. Is that going to happen now or are they going to go and enact a legislation to stop the normal thing that normally used to happen all the time? Because that's what's normally happened. As soon as the public service and the parliamentarians get a raise, the pension is normally automatically goes up too.
In this scenario, it appears as though there's a separate carve-out, but it appears as though only the carve-out that was identified prior to the 5% is the carve-out that we know of.
So you're
what I'm hearing you query mm-hmm. is whether or not the pensioners should look forward to an increase, and I can't answer that one for you.
Because, as I said, it used to happen automatically for years. And the one that you say the carve-out was given
mm-hmm.
before, understand where it was given and it was achieved because the promise was given and they made sure they did it. So that's the question
But if you didn't receive a promise, what more are you looking for?
No.
There was no promise to be fulfilled for you?
Listen, Lisa.
And by the way, you don't sound like a pensioner, I must say.
But you know, as you said just now, the person held her feet to the fire and asked pertinent questions, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
You realize that no one was there seeking anything for the persons who are less vulnerable.
That's not entirely accurate.
No,
because if you did listen, the sugar worker who works 3 days a week who gets $65 a day in each of those 3 days,
you're mixing them.
You know, you just said people who get a fixed income who don't, the poor people. That's what you said, and I'm saying to you,
because
their workers don't assume that they are getting a salary that is of, I mean, and I'm sure that is larger. Sorry, some pensioners receive more, way more than what that sugar worker currently gets.
So I was speaking specifically on the persons who are not working, pensioners, and who would normally get something from NIS pertaining to a check, right? The ones who do not work, the ones who are fixed on a fixed income. So if you would have told me that you know that because they didn't get a raise for X amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and yes, they were suffering in silence. Yes, you helped them. But yet, check it carefully. They still have to pay a little bit more of that money back to sustain the trucks and the garbage collection.
Yes,
okay. They're not paying all, but they're paying back some out of it, right?
Yes.
So which means their income now cut back now again. So they come right back down, yet the economy get a little more harder for them to buy and sustain their well-being whatever they have to do. So
Your case is clear. Pensioners.
Right. Well, once you understand.
I understood you from the beginning.
Okay.
Pensioners are going to feel a little more pain.
Yes.
Workers are going to feel a little more pain. The government is going to feel a little more pain. Everybody is going to feel a little more pain.
I appreciate
which is why I am very keen. Because
uh-huh.
I wasn't so overly so contented with two of the responses. One, i.e. the fact that the NSRL has been removed, but yet the prices are not coming down as we would have thought. I'm one of those consumers looking forward to the effect, yes, the impact, the positive impact of a removal of a tax on
the end
good.
Yes, let me finish with this, right? All I am trying to put here, because I know some people listen and some people clearly do not understand. Now, remember, you have family, friends, and you also,
mm-hmm.
right, Miss Lisa, right? And remember, they have personal. A lot of people do not even really know what these people are going through and how they try to make ends meet, which is everybody. I don't mm-hmm. want to exclude any person.
Yes.
When you could have a person in parliament as asking at this time also for increase, I have no quarrel with that.
You mean Senator Tate?
It doesn't matter who the person is. Say any person in the parliament, any person, right? Any senators, any politicians, anybody. Because they know what is going on with them. But when you could have some person who have a higher income,
yes,
can ask for it, what does that tell you? Because they know what is going on in the economy. So it should tell anybody up there that these persons who are on a fixed income really need more money to assist them. So that's the only reason why I was trying to query it and to see it as far as I can see it. And other persons are speaking about it, is that once the 5% is put on now, and it was always that they would have gotten an increase as long as the parliamentarians and the public servants got it,
mm-hmm.
automatically they are looking that should happen. They have something, as you also indicated, the car vote was separate from what is going on now. So to me, I would figure the only way they can get away from this is to go and enact something to stop these persons from getting an increase as long as the 5% goes on for those other persons. That's automatically, if you understand what I'm saying, they will hope.
But that's
the question out there.
All right, let's see if we can get some
responses.
Thank
you very much for
listening. Thanks so much for your queries and your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The latest systematic survey said there are 33,800 listeners. That's a lot of listeners. Good morning to you. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
A very good morning to you, ma'am.
Yes.
And how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay. Now, I'm listening, and I said to myself, should I call or should I? And then I said, you know what? I got the phone call. That I did. You're talking about anger management. So there are two things that I want to discuss with you, anger management and transport, if you'd allow me to. The thing about it, I want to go from the start, because a lot of callers have been talking about the Bible. God created this world, and this world became a world of happenings and a world of opposite. You get good and bad. No. Where there is anger, you're going to get a problem, because provocation is in there. Pain and hurt is also in there. Now, how do you differentiate from anger management and being angry?
Easy.
Sorry?
Easy. You want me
easy
to share?
Okay. All right. I will listen to you in a little while, and then I'll go on.
Okay. So you want me to respond to how...
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you differentiate from anger management and being angry?
Right. So one follows the other. So all of us get angry. Baby.
Right.
Right up to centenarian.
Yeah.
Something troubles us, whether it's frustration, hurt, disrespect, whatever. That triggers our anger and we get angry. The management of the anger, which is that process, it is how do you handle the anger when it comes. So it's okay to get angry, but the management of that, processing, hurt, pain, anger, is the benefit to you. Because the person who manages their anger is the person who's going to get by even although the conflict is there, they're going to manage it. Are you clear?
Yeah, I'm clear on that.
Okay.
But you see, now, anger management is part book theory.
Part, but it's also very experiential.
And also, it's different from reality.
No, no, no. Don't tell me it's different from reality. There are several people who process.
I'm sorry?
There are several people who participate in managing anger and they don't even know that they're doing it. You heard the gentleman say earlier, you know, your grandfather used to tell you count from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
That is a management of anger procedure.
I'm agreeing that you can have anger management and you can have some, you can derive some benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm also saying is there is, let me explain here clearly.
Mm-hmm.
After anger management and you understand how to deal with anger,
mm-hmm.
there are times then that there is pain and hurt still with you for years.
Yes, but anger management is the management of the anger. It's not the removal of the anger or the removal of the pain and fear.
Good. Now, the thing about it is that when, let me just explain to you quickly, and I can bring a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
How would you deal if someone lies on you? Right?
Yes.
And you get angry. Someone broke your house and took all your jewelry and money and what's not. You get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But someone rapes you. And after you found out the person is an HIV
mm-hmm.
carrier,
mm-hmm.
how do you react to all three?
You're still angry? So one person broke into your house. One person, don't remember the second one. The third one is a rape scenario.
Mm-hmm. Someone lies on you.
Oh, someone lies on you. So the breaking into the house, you might not have been able to get to the person. Of course, you always say, boy, if I was here, I would have cuffed that person in the face or I would do something to them.
Mm-hmm.
The second scenario, you feel bad because you don't know who that light has gone to, who else that light has reached.
Right.
So sometimes you try to do your own, what's the word? Your reputational recovery.
Yeah.
I don't want to use these terms. But yes, you go into managing your reputation and making sure that what people think of you is not what that person said. And thirdly, the scenario where you have been raped, it has happened already.
Mm-hmm.
You now have to process the pain, the hurt
mm-hmm.
of the rape itself, and then mm-hmm. the added repercussion of, okay, I have possibly contracted mm-hmm. HIV AIDS
right.
or a potential SID, some form of gonorrhea or syphilis
right.
or something. That could very well be life-threatening. There's also the scenario of pregnancy.
Right.
So that person is distraught. That
right.
person is suffering from. So again, they still also have to manage it because you've been raped. You've just been violated. That's going to live with you for a very long time, but you still have to process it.
Good. All right, let me ask a question.
Yes.
No, let me say something. I personally feel that the person has died on
mm-hmm.
can walk away. Got his reputation.
Not easy. None of the three is easy.
None of the three easy. But I'm saying that you put the person, you put that rift in front of the person won't kill them right away.
Yeah. No, that'd be right. So this is where the anger management comes in now. You've had somebody wrong you up to varying degrees. The person who has been, the house has been broken into or raped or lied on, that person now has to process that pain because it's not just the anger. There's a pain, there is a shame, there are a number of things that come along with those three scenarios.
Right.
They don't have to retaliate
mm-hmm.
in the way that their minds would tell them to. Because I'm sure the woman would like to slit the throat of the man that raped her.
Exactly.
Or do something that would, you know, whether she bobs him
mm-hmm.
or does something, gouge out his eyes as we've been taught in... I got an FBI training a couple years ago and he said go for soft and swishy. What's soft and swishy? Your eyes are your testicles. I mean, that training was very useful training.
Right, yeah.
But of course, he knows his stuff. This is a man who has trained, he's done self-defense for a long time. So the point I'm making to you
mm-hmm.
is that she now has to handle, and we assume that the rapist is a female,
mm-hmm.
because there are males that get raped as well. So let us not forget that males get raped as well.
Exactly.
But the point I'm making is that person now has to process how would they get past handling that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How would they handle, not just the perpetrator, but how do you go back home? How do you tell your partner that you have been violated in that form? How do you tell your parents that that has happened to you? How do you tell your roommate that you have been violated in that degree? So you have a number of layers to go through when you go, when that happens to you. So so it is in managing that. Some people don't manage it. Some people go through breakdown. Some people go through, some people just flip and become don't care-ish. Some people go to drugs, they go to drinking. And that's because they haven't processed the anger or the pain good enough, and therefore the management of it is it becomes very important.
All right. Quickly now, Lisa, because I want to go on to that point. And Brandon Holm, this is how he said, God in his own way, being a God of wrath, he said he shall cleanse the earth. What he would cleanse the earth?
A lot of things, and I said this on Sunday.
My people have become so violent as a kid.
That there are some things I just can't answer.
Okay.
And we, as you know, man, the thoughts of man are not the thoughts of God, and therefore we ain't in the category of God. We would like to answer some of those things that are not explainable.
No, he created me so I can take a partner from him.
Nice.
Because if he was God, and he realized that the people become so violent, they can cleanse the earth and cause the flood, that I can take my partner from him. Now, where is then that, because he's talking about anger management, where is that when certain things are happening and you go before the court, then there's the situation of imprisonment, hanging, all these things thereafter for the person to get justice?
Say that again, sorry.
I'm saying that we're talking about anger management, and the person that goes through the pain and hurt and suffering at some given time then will be given justice in the courts.
Not always.
Not always, but sometimes
they're
given
yes.
justice. And this justice is by way of imprisonment or hanging or something, right? So I'm saying they have to be at some given time. There are certain things that you can walk away from. This is my position. And there are certain things that can't.
Yes.
No, let me go on a translation quick.
Bear in mind, I don't agree with you.
Fair enough. You know the thing, we all have different opinions.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the thing about it now is the transport. I listened for a long while. I've been on transport. I was once part of transport. But let me explain something to you. I want to say clearly that transportation is very important. And if you are thinking in terms at any given time of removing a transport board or privatizing a transport board, you're opening the gates for chaos. Anytime that you decide to do that, you're opening the gates. I want to endorse clearly from the minister who says that he's looking at areas of improvement in the private sector, which I can agree, and I would say go for it. But you have to be very careful when you're doing such opening, because look at it now. Do you think that there's some sort of excuse me, there is a as I say, there's a lot of disturbance, there's a lot of chaos in the sector. And until you can bring that onto some proper operation, where you can operate freely, give of a service, because this is one of the big and key problems, giving up a service. Everybody looks for money. I think you already say money's not all in life. To give up a service. I want to ask a simple question. And I asked Dennis sometime back. If you have approximately 1,000 odd vehicles make up of the omnibus, minibus, and ZRs, and you have 11 parcels, will you need rocket science to get that put on paper to how you're getting around?
Yep.
So something tell me something is wrong.
Rationalization is needed.
Sorry?
Rationalization
of
the transport sector.
If that is needed, why not implement it?
Yep.
No, the other thing is, if the minister can't get it put in place, or the transport authority can't get in place, take a trip to Trinidad and see how they got it put in place.
Yeah, there are benchmarking. There are examples. I've been to Geneva a couple of years ago, and they told us, the bus is going to come at probably just 9 minutes past. Actually, the bus stop has the times. And if you get there at 9:10, the bus Gone. You have to wait till 9:16 or whenever the next 13 minutes or whatever. And I was fascinated by that scenario. Now, a couple of days later, I was right there, trust me. And the bus did not wait for me. You know how many years ago, and it still happens, the old lady trying to get on the bus and she got enough bundles, so you gotta wait. I thought that man was insensitive. But I came to understand that there's something called a system. There are other people at the other bus stop waiting for me at the 16. Mm-hmm. So they have adjudged the times in advance. So if you can get your bundle together, I'm sure you can wait another 13 minutes until the next bus comes. And if of course, our system.
Where was this?
This was in Geneva.
Okay.
This was in Geneva. I was there for 1 month. So we were traversing daily from France to Geneva. And listen, punctuality really came home to me then. The importance of, a lot of things came home in terms of the efficient society, the efficiently run public services, etc. But it calls for rationalization, and it does require a high level of finance and strategy in order for it to take place.
It calls for a lot of guts.
And buy-in as well from all of the players within the sector. So a lot needs to be done, and I use the term rationalization because we first need to know how many. Let's say you're servicing one area, how many buses are going to Jackson? How many buses do you need in a time span? Exactly. And there'll be no more permits for anybody else beyond that. But yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your contribution, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks.